It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out of town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. I got to hand it to him. The Boston Bruins are the only ones left that can still make it hurt and cut deep. As everyone else in this town, I'm either indifferent or I've turned my back on. But these a-holes, they still have the ability, Chris, to suck me in, make me fall for the banana in the tailpipe, and then make me want to throw myself down a flight of stairs. And that was the experience last night. It's, look, you want to believe in this team. It's the best team in NHL history.
And yeah, somebody take said game that. Somebody seven. Wrote that.
Yeah, go nuts. I'm not that guy. You couldn't pay me. I don't even know what the number would be for me to be in that building. We don't want you in the building, Murray. You're a curse anyway. Great. I've been to a few Game 7s, including the last most terrible one. When I left before the third period, because I was like, well, I've seen this body's cold. It's going cold. It's dead. I don't need to see the rest of this. It's over in 2019 against the Blues. I was there against that in that horrific Carolina loss in 2009. I can't believe this happened, but it did. So, you couldn't pay me. I don't even know. I don't think there is an amount to be in that building tomorrow night because it's Game 7s are the best. If they win, otherwise, you can feel years being taken off your life watching those things. Home, in the building, whatever. We'll spend a lot of time on this. I didn't expect to because I thought they actually would win tomorrow night. I was hoping they would win last night because I think their chances are less than zero tomorrow night.
This really?
Chris, this should not have gone. This is so embarrassing that it's come to this. And they reap what you sow. You can't finish this off the other night at home. Your thing goes to overtime because these idiots have turned into the Keystone Cops on ice with the turnovers. Turnover, turnover, turnover in your own zone time and time again. Get it out, you idiots. And in this, it's come to this, a seventh game against the Florida Panthers after this season?
Well, I mean,
embarrassing.
I'll say a couple of things. It certainly is disappointing, I think, that it's gone to seven games. They were in full control of this series. It should have been over by now. There's a Celtics-like element to the way the Bruins are playing in this series where they're letting the other team back in. But Florida was one of the hottest teams in the NHL in the second half of the season, and they also were the only team that made the playoff field that beat the Bruins twice during the regular season. So maybe we were wrong to think it would just be a cakewalk and this easy, because I think Florida matches up decently with the Bruins, and certainly judging by Matthew Tkachuk and some of those other guys, they're not intimidated by them. I think the most alarming thing for me with the Bruins as this series has sort of deteriorated is I think your biggest advantage has deteriorated right before your eyes, which was supposed to be goaltending.
Yeah.
Florida is a mess in net. Right, they started out with Lyon. They went to Bobrovsky. I honestly don't think Bobrovsky's been great in any of these games. Not bad. He's had some timely saves.
No, but I thought last night he was a little less sucky than Ullmark. I didn't think he was good at all last night.
And the thing is, you know, as Jack Edwards would say, there's always a lot of juicy rebounds with Bobrovsky. You have your chances to score,
yeah.
And they certainly did last night, right? I mean, you would think you score five goals with the Vezina winner in net, you'd think that's going to work for you. Linus Ullmark is clearly not 100%, and I think the Bruins erred big time in thinking that they could just, you know, basically slap the saddle on him and ride him all the way to the cup instead of doing what they did during the regular season, which was rotate goal. He's not that guy. First of all, he's not healthy, but even if he is healthy, he's not that guy that you can sit there and say for potentially 28 games and 3 months, you're just going to send him out there every other night. He's not built like that.
Yep, and despite all that, he is still not the guy I'm the most mad at this morning.
Ooh.
And the fact that this series has gone seven. It actually, for me, because I was thinking about this as I stewed last night, went for a long, angry walk, came back, tried to go to sleep, chewed on my pillow for hours, driving in here, pissed, getting caffeinated. Who am I most mad at? It's the coach. It's Jim Montgomery. And, you know, part of it has to do with goaltending, Chris, because I think he's been too afraid to make a change. He hasn't looked right. I think there's an injury there. I think he's been skittish these last couple of games. He probably should have been pulled midway through the second period last night. I think Jim Montgomery's kind of frozen these last couple of games about making a change in net. The Connor Clifton thing last night.
Oh, boy.
You've either overthought things. So three games he's been off. Clifton comes back in. There's a million giveaways from him last night, it feels like, but maybe the worst of them all, you know, the six first period giveaways. But Clifton throws the outlet pass to absolutely nobody, a shift after taking a stupid penalty. It results in a 2-on-1. Tkachuk buries the rebound. It's 2-1 Florida with 13 and change in the first, and it's like, and that was the first of many. Get this guy. Why did Jim Montgomery put him in? And then the other one too, Taylor Hall, who might be the best forward for the Bruins in this series. Guy's playing like he feels like he knows he's going to get traded this offseason or something's up. You're getting good Taylor Hall. Do you know what his ice time was last night?
No, what was it?
12:24.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
12:24. So why is your best forward getting that little ice time? I just think Jim Montgomery's looked like a complete fool, at least in these last two games, and that's who I'm most mad at. It was good to show him, to see some emotion out of him last night. When it was after they got the shorthanded goal, and then Florida ties the effing thing again, he flips out on the bench. It's like, okay, that's good to see. Just please, Jim, if you're listening, you know, I know you guys are back home for this stupid game seven. You shouldn't even have to be playing tomorrow night. Start Swayman. Will you sack up and just start Jeremy Swayman tonight? And I know he's cold, but after these last couple of games, you, at the very least, in terms of any other dumb roster changes you want to make, Connor Clifton, get out of my face with that. Put Grizzlick back in, okay? And you have to start Jeremy Swayman.
Do you think any part of the going with Clifton over Grizzlick was the way that Game Five ended with the miscommunication between Grizzlick?
Yeah, and he was
Ullmark?
Yeah, and he was partly responsible there. It's funny, people immediately wanted to get on Ullmark, and I did too at the end of Game Five. But in looking at that thing, I don't know how does the puck end up on the stick of the opposition's
on the opposition there, and they were both responsible. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to
yeah.
over-explain that. Looking at it a million times and watching that clip time and time and time again, Grzelcyk was partly responsible there. Okay, but you're going to – he is still better than Clifton. Like, I think that – again, he's too wrapped up in this whole thing and in his own head, and Jim Montgomery is the guy that I'm the most mad at.
Wasn't there at some point, you didn't like the Clifton – was it Clifton and Fortbort who were out there together?
Derek Fortbort, yeah.
Yeah. You didn't like that pairing?
No. So, yeah, like everybody else, I'm pissed. I'm hot about this. It's stupid that it's come to this. You gotta drink yourself sane tomorrow night to even deal with a game seven. At least I do. I figured, look, we were going to get one of these, whether it was round two against Tampa or Toronto, but this team, this early, and I know that there's talent there. You make
yeah,
a good point.
I mean, they are talented, and they were one of – I mean, just to make the playoffs, they had to really put the pedal to the metal, and they won the President's Trophy last year.
But you should have wrapped this up in game five the other night. Like, this is – it's just so foolish that it's come to this. And I also didn't expect – I just thought they were going to finish, silly me, again, falling for the banana in the tailpipe that are the Boston Bruins my whole life. I really thought they were going to go and win like 4-1 last night. And God forbid they play a close game tomorrow night because they'll lose it. They better get out to an early lead tomorrow night, like 3-0 in the first period. They were up 3-0 against Philly in 2010. Oh, I know. I remember that one too. Yeah. No, I remember. But get out to an early, big, comfortable lead, because if it's 1-1 going to the third, they're going to lose.
The interesting thing about Montgomery, and I think you're spot on with a lot of the blame you're laying at his doorstep, is, you know, he's been really quick. I think for a team that's been so successful, he's been really quick to make a lot of changes. And look, some of those changes worked earlier in the season, but it is a little surprising how quick he has been to change things up. But then the dichotomy between how quick he is to mix up lines and defense pairings and how reluctant he is to go and switch goalies when that's what they rode all season long was, you know, and Swayman arguably, again, in the back half of the year, arguably was playing as well, if not better than Ullmark. I mean, I know a lot of people saying go with Swayman in game seven. I don't think you can do that now. The guy's ice cold.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So you get the hurt guy or the guy that's just been kind of a bit of a puddle these last couple of games, or the cold guy. Flip a coin of suck. Which one do you want? It's so stupid, Chris, that it's come to this. And I get this is – it's both the beauty and the pain of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like couple of turnovers, couple of bounces of the puck, it goes the other way, and all of a sudden you get yourself a series, and that's what it's come to. But after this season that they had, after this – tiss column that the man to my left wrote a couple of weeks ago, just enjoy the ride. No, it's been great.
This team's different.
Just accept it. Nope. No. They still wear the lead coat of the uniform, the Boston Bruins experience. It's happening. I thought it might happen at some point during this run. They could be playing golf by Monday morning. I didn't think it would happen this quickly.
Well, I'll just say, you know, go back obviously to 2011, right? They went 7 games in the first round there too.
Say again? I'm sorry.
So, 2011, they ended up going 7 games in the first. They had to
yeah,
go 7
no,
games
that,
in the first round.
That is true.
As well, right?
Yep.
And then of course there's 2013 against Toronto, you know, your famous call.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So we've sometimes, you know, they make it very interesting in the first round, and that's the prelude to a long Stanley Cup run.
All right, so I don't know. You want to divvy up the pissed off pie? Who you're most mad at? I start with the coach. I think he's overthought things, maybe in over his head, whatever you want to call it, these last couple of games. And what do you want to see happen in goal? Because Chris is right to point out, you know, Jeremy Swayman, he hasn't played for a couple of weeks. Can you expect him to come to him in game seven?
April 13th was the last, like, real live action.
Oh, that's good. You know, like, and this is something that Fudo Shinzawa has pointed out here and has been harping on even before this series started. Like, do you want to keep the rotation? It's been one of the special things about this team and this special season that they had. Maybe you want to do that, Jim Montgomery. Well, now, looking back, it's easy to say you probably should have. So now is it still maybe live or die with Linus Ullmark tomorrow because he's been the guy that's been in there? Cold goalie, hurt, rattled goalie. Which one you want? Let's bitch about this game for a while, 617-779-0985. It's Casper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Casper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Chris Gasper. Big Jim Murray.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Right point, Carlo shoots, he scores! Brandon Carlo at the right point. It's the first goal by a Bruins defenseman in the series. Bruins 3 and the Panthers 2. Now, Paul Maurice has called referee Trevor Hansen over. Is he going to challenge this?
After reviewing the play at 11:44, Boston half past goal.
Oh, and then there's this thing, too. I'm never blame the refs guy. Welcome back. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. We're opening up with that pig F of a game last night. Game 6, Bruins lose to the Panthers. We get a game 7 tomorrow night that shouldn't be happening. This Brandon Carlo goal that was disallowed. When they go up quickly, start of the third period, 3-2, Chris, I'm like, all right, okay. Now I can actually start to enjoy my Friday night. We're on our way. I went, took a long leak, came back.
Oh, no, you left?
Yeah, and I was like, well... You know what I thought I walked into, because what it was like the pan shot of the crowd waving their stupid towels. I was like, did they just tie this that quickly? And we got a 3-3 game. And I was like, wait, what's happening? What? Huh? Wait, who? What? So they circumcised the mosquito looking at this thing. This is why people hate replay.
Oh, obviously. On Chappelle's show when Keeping It Real goes wrong? This was when replay goes wrong.
Yes. So I don't care how many times you look at this, and if you happen to be listening out of state and you're like one of the nine Panthers fans, you're biased, you're a Bruins fan, you're mad. Yes, I'm mad, but for many other reasons today. This is just flat out stupid. It had nothing to do with the play. I don't care how many times you watch it. Brandon... What was happening there? Jake DeBrusque was returning his hand to his stick. He kind of inadvertently, like, just, it was like a, like one of these type of, obviously you can't see the motion I'm making, but yeah. It wasn't a pass. It was an inadvertent motion that he hit the puck. It was not a pass. It wasn't a pass. And it not only that, Chris, more than anything else, it had nothing really to do with the play. That's shame on the NHL for going back and looking at it. Look, credit to Florida for...
Yeah, their video crew.
Their video crew.
The real MVP.
Taking the time to look at that. You had the goal taken off. Like, hey, good gamesmanship there. But that whole sequence had to happen, and that the league can look at that and circumcise the mosquito. That's why people hate replay.
Agreed.
It's ridiculous. I'm at a loss for words for it, because it was so mind-boggling in watching that, and that goal was disallowed because of that? Because of that? Like, we know what an illegal hand pass looks like. That was just inadvertent. DeBrusque was trying to get a stick. That's all.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. You know, I think part of it, too, is the way the rules written. You know, they don't give the officials any leeway there to try and discern intent. It's just, did it hit his hand or his finger or not? And it did. And it wasn't intentional. The only thing I'd say, and I didn't like the call, but I understand it. Again, kudos to Paul Maurice and the Panthers video crew for finding it. But the one thing I will say is I did think it did have something to do with the goal, because basically it got Bergeron the puck free to go to the other side, you know, and I'm not sure if he doesn't accidentally hit that puck, if Bergeron can so cleanly scoop it up and just on the move, keep going to the other side and then be able to pass it back.
Yeah. So I think it was, to me, looking at it, it's like it's right there. Like
So you think Bergeron would have gotten it either way that cleanly?
Yeah.
Maybe. You could be right. You could be right. It just seemed like it might have been a little bit of Bergeron might have had to stop or it could have ended up sort of getting jammed up in a scrum. And where DeBrusk, again, not on purpose, just ticked it just enough that Bergeron could swoop by, grab it all in one motion, and be away from the Florida D. And, you know, I think that didn't factor into the call because the moment it hits DeBrusk, the tip of his finger, it is what it is. But for me, the issue there is, you know, I that's the part of replay I hate. It's like I hate when these teams go back and they're like, oh, well, you know, on the entry to that goal, you know, 45 seconds ago when they entered our zone, I think their guy, I don't think his skate was down. I think he was offside by a millimeter. And then they wipe out the goal. I hate that. I hate the whole way the NHL uses replay.
And the other thing, too, and it made, like, there was just, for me, that's when, like, partially some doom started to set in.
Yeah, sure.
Because there's always something stupid like this, it feels like, with the Bruins. Like, the grow up hearing about too many men in the ice.
Yes.
You remember Marchand not being able to make the change in Game 7 against the Blues
yes.
a few years, you know, a handful of years ago in the Stanley Cup Final. And it's like, there's always some foolish thing. And this was a foolish thing. And it's like, no, not again. No, you mother. Oh.
And the way Florida responded to that, too.
Oh, God.
It, emotionally, it felt like, you know, taking that goal off the board.
A lot of pep in their step.
Felt like they had scored a goal.
Yes.
And they responded like they had scored a goal.
All right. Well, time for you to vent. I'm sure many of you be doing this all day. We're here for you. Here on 98.5 of Sports Hub. 617-779-0985. But again, I start my blame and pissed off pie with Jim Montgomery these last couple of games. I just think he's maybe overthought things. I think he's already should have put Jeremy Swayman in at some point in these last couple of games. Some of the line changes last night, the roster changes. I think that's where I start. So, Patrick and Quincy, you're first up here on Gasper Murray this morning. Hey, Patrick.
Yeah, Jim Montgomery has been a complete disaster. I mean, why is Forbert getting so much playing time? Like, it almost seems like a rotation now between Grizzlick and Clifton. And I have no idea what either one of those guys have done to have their playing time taken away. Forbert has been a disaster. I mean, this whole thing about how great he is on the penalty kill, I mean, you talk about overrated. The penalty kill was fine in the last few weeks of the season when Forbert wasn't there. The penalty kill with him, the lineup in the playoffs, the last couple of games, has been an absolute disaster. Absolute disaster. Jim Montgomery, he's horrible. I mean, he's just not a good coach. He's a figurehead more than anything. He's said as much throughout the entire year. Every time he's asked about the team, he's like, oh, it's got nothing to do with me. Look at who I get to coach. And then you hear the comments from Bergeron talking about how, oh, I talked to Monty and I told him this was okay. This guy's a figurehead. He has no control of the team. And I thought the whole thing going into the playoffs was Bruins are different than other teams. They have two goalies that they can count on. No other team has that luxury. Yeah? Well, then why wasn't Swayman put in Game 3 when we got blown out in Game 2? We haven't even used Swayman yet. And like you guys have said, he can't come in cold now. What are you going to do? Put him in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs? Like, hey, welcome. Yeah, just starting Game 7. No worries at all with the season on the line. This guy's a joke. He's an absolute joke. And Bruce Cassidy right now is laughing hysterically. He's the first team to go on to the second round. And this team got rid of him because they're a bunch of babies, and they brought in a figurehead guy who they could just control, and now they're screwed because of it. I don't even know. This team is a joke right now.
Thanks, Patrick. Good passion there.
Yeah, now that's a Bruins fan.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, no. Let's not forget the Bruce Cassidy thing, too, because Maz brought that up yesterday on Agenda Free Friday. You better not lose because that's extra salt in the wound, too, because, oh, the mean coach. The coach was a little too mean and salty to you. He's already moved on. First team to move on to the second round. But, yeah, the Forbort-Clifton pairing that you brought up, you know, in the first segment, Chris, like, they maybe had, like, the worst D-pairing game I've seen.
It was bad.
I mean, that was horrific. Absolutely horrific. But going back to what the caller mentioned about the goalie rotation, is that your biggest second guess so far in this series?
Yeah, and, you know, and Fleury Schanzauer wrote about that. And I do think the fact that they rode that all year long, and then when push came to shove, they decided they were just going to strap a saddle on an injured Linus Ullmark and ask him to do something he's never done in his career while injured. I think you can certainly look back on that and say it's burned them. It's burned them. And I would say this, that if they do survive this series moving forward, whether it is Toronto or Tampa Bay, they have to go back to some semblance of a rotation. Do you have any confidence if they win Game 7 – at this point, from what you've seen from Ullmark and whatever he's dealing with, again, we know he's compromised. Do you have any confidence at this point that they can just ride him a la Tim Thomas or even, you know, he who should not be named, Tuukka Rask, which they were able to do to a couple of Stanley Cup finals? Do you have confidence they could do that with Ullmark if they survive tomorrow?
No. At the very least, I just think it's too much of a workload for him.
Like, yeah.
Go back to what was working. Because it was working. Oh, you never do. You can't rotate goalies in the postseason. Like, look, this has been such an unconventional. I said it like a couple of weeks before the regular season ended because I was one of those people. You can't do that. You can't do that. Harumph, harumph. You know, why the hell not? It's been such an unconventional, crazy season for them. And they accomplished something that no team ever had. Why not? Just go with what works. It's been working for you. You don't do that in the postseason. Now look where you are. Gabe in South Carolina next year on Gasparri. Hi, Gabe.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right,
listen, I never thought I would see Clifton and Forbert on the ice so much. Is it just me? Do you guys know how much ice time they had? And also another question, how many goals did they specifically let up? Because it felt like it was like three, maybe even four. I don't even know, man. But it was, every time I look up Clifton and Forbert, and I just knew it was going to be bad, man.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Forbert was on for 14:55. And Clifton was on for 13:22 total ice time.
Oh, that's less than I would have thought it would have been.
They weren't on as much as you'd think. They just did a lot of damage while they were out there, and not so. Clifton was a -3.
Selwyn in Connecticut next year on Gasper Murray. Hey, Selwyn.
Hey guys, first time, long time. Listen, I'll be honest. I think they'll be fine tomorrow because I think what's going to happen is they'll win by 3 goals because they'll realize. Hey, we said it being them game 5 or 6, and we'll all be like, hopefully they figure it out next round. That's it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, yeah. Selwyn. Look, I hope you're right. And I know, look, it's been a special team. It's been a special year, and they win tomorrow night, and all will be forgotten for a time. But for right now, you know, to quote Felger, we have a show to do today. and I just feel like I never, like, while I expected some kind of doom to set in with the Bruins, I didn't think it would be in the first round. I didn't think I would be feeling this. I didn't think we'd be seeing a Game 7 against this team. And I know that there's talent on that Panthers team. Their goalie situation blows. But somehow,
it really does.
But somehow the world's been flipped upside down the last couple of games, and now the Bruins' goalie situation, which was their biggest strength this season.
It was their biggest advantage
in this worse
series.
Than Florida's?
Yeah, or at least level, which is scary.
Oh, my God.
And that's the other thing, too. You know, you give a team life, and you can have problems. And you look at that Florida team, and I think Matthew Tkachuk's the embodiment of that.
He's a badass.
They have a lot of, I think, determination, a lot of edge, and they are not intimidated by the Bruins. Psychologically, at this point, I mean, you're going into this Game 7. I almost wish, this is so bad to say, but I almost wish this game were still down in Sunrise. Because I think there's more pressure on the Bruins.
I'm 1,000%.
It's at home.
Yeah.
There'll be immediate groans if they go down 1-0. Like, you will feel it in that building. And I think Florida is sort of playing with house money. Tkachuk saying to his teammates after Game 5, remember this room, boys. We're coming back here. The whole thing. I mean, they're riding a wave of confidence and a wave, basically, of forget you at this point.
So, again, my blame and pissed pie starts with Jim Montgomery. I'll give you something else I didn't like in terms of a move he made last night. So we'll get to that along with more of your Bruins phone calls. And, you know, the Patriots draft continues as well. We will touch on that before the end of the hour, before we turn to the Celtics and the Celtics hour at noon. But 617-779-0985, an open line if you'd like to join us and bitch about last night's Game 6. 617-779-0985. It's Gasper and Murray.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
This is 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
And this is Gasper and Murray.
Center circle, the Bruins create a turnover. Over the line, right side, it's Marchand to the right circle. Twists into the slot. Carlo hooks it to Bertuzzi, shoots, he scores! Tyler Bertuzzi, he tucked it just inside the elbow of the crossbar where it meets the far post. Bruins 3, Panthers 3.
All right, Tyler Bertuzzi with a couple of goals. A big offensive night for the Bruins and their 7-5 loss to the Florida Panthers. Welcome back, Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. A couple of goals. But if you look at the stat sheet, and your eyes are working, you see many a terrible pass by Tyler Bertuzzi in this series. He finishes with a -3 last night, which I feel like, Chris, you feel like is almost like the embodiment of this team, at least in this series, in these last couple of games. It's just a crazy roller coaster ride.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
Tyler Bertuzzi.
Yeah, I mean, I like Bertuzzi. Certainly, he's given them a lot of jump in this series, but also he's made some big mistakes. And there have been some, there's too many, some of these blind passes, it's great when it lands on Pasternak's stick and it's an open net or it's a power play goal or whatever it is. But and he was playing on the number. Bertuzzi was on the number one power play there last night, and it was clicking. What were they, 3 of 4 on the power play? So I see that part of it, but you also have to acknowledge and maybe manage him a little. I think if you're Jim Montgomery, because the reality is, you know, he can be a little bit of a giveaway machine, or he just doesn't always make the easy play, the simple play. He's trying to make the great play, and you end up losing puck possession. And again, you know, you score 2 goals, that's great, but you ended up as a -3. And I thought Bertuzzi being a -3 was a big part of what maybe dragged Patrice Bergeron down to being a -3 as well. So I know maybe they're trying to mitigate some of the feast or famine nature of Bertuzzi's game by pairing him up with Bergeron. But I think you got to do a little bit better job if you're Jim Montgomery of sort of game management with Bertuzzi. Certainly, it's been great when he's generated offense, and he's done that all series long. But he's honestly, he's a little bit like Marcus Smart for the Celtics. There's a chaos factor, and it works for both teams, not just your team. And you have to recognize that.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, there is a Marcus Smart-ish factor to Tyler Bertuzzi's game. So that leads me to another thing that irked me about Jim Montgomery and one of the decisions he made last night. Because, again, handful. I think he's been too afraid to make a change in goal. Allmark's been skittish, so there's that. Connor Clifton in last night. I mean, now you could certainly second-guess that. Why Taylor Hall, who's arguably been you know, the best forward for the Bruins in this series, gets 12-24 of ice time last night. And then this, crowbarring David Krejci back into the lineup last night. It's a 7-5 game. It's, you know, you're getting crazy offensive output. You know he got 0 shots last night in a 7-5 game? Zero points, 0 shots. He only won 1 of his 5 faceoffs. He's clearly not right. So you're crowbarring him in because, well, it's Krejci. We got to have Krejci back in. No, you don't. No, you don't. Not because of the name and the resume. You don't. If he's not right, he's not right. Again, a cold player. You're just forcing back in the lineup because of, you know, the accomplishments, who he is, what he means to the team, all blah, blah, blah. Put Trent Frederick back in. If David Krejci is going to look like that, put Trent Frederick back into the lineup. So that's another second guess for me, too. I start with Jim Montgomery these last couple of games. There's a lot you can be pissed at, but that's who I'm the most pissed at. Don and Carver, your thoughts on the coach. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, Chris, I'm the guy who called Montgomery a magician last week, remember?
Hey, Kevin Paul DuPont has said he has some real genius. And his coaching resume.
Well, listen, listen. Here's the deal. The first caller made him sound like Rasputin, for crying out loud. If you score 5 goals, you should win a game. He never should have had Ulmer in goal. I couldn't believe it. I was saying it before when I heard I said, no, Swayman, please, just Swayman. So that was an ultimate thing for me that I don't know what's going on with this, with Ulmer being the guy when he's obviously not right.
And that, and Don, I'm going to let you go on that because we get a lot of calls. I think that's what it is. He's not right.
Whether he's not.
It's physically, and you think that, you know, again, like some of the times you see a kind of not even like bend over. He has difficulty getting up when he's like on his back. I think that it's a physical thing more than a mental thing. But maybe a mental thing is also seeped in too.
Well, I think that's possible too. And then also, it's sort of like anytime you're physically compromised, right? And you look at something, you start to, what do? You start to try and compensate.
Yeah, right.
And maybe that's where there are now some of these holes that are opening up when it comes to Linus Ullmark, and he's allowing some goals he didn't during the regular season because he's maybe trying to compensate for whatever this injury is and trying to compensate, say, okay, I know if I go down, I have a hard time getting back up, so I have to sort of compensate for that or lean this way and that way. And I've always thought Ullmark, you know, I'm not goalie Bob, obviously. I'm not Bob Essena, but I do think that he's a pretty technical goalie, right? I don't think that he's like a Tim Thomas, Dominic Hasek, these guys that were just crazy athletic. He's big and he's very technical, and it's about the technique. And so if you're compromised and now you're compromising the technique because you're trying to compensate for some injury you have, you're off. You're just off. And yeah. He's just felt off to me. He's allowed 10 goals in the last two games.
Oh.
10 goals.
Yeah.
4-6.
Yeah, I think, and I thought they should have made a switch in the second period last night. Joe in the truck on last night's game. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Joe.
Just tell me all the guys. I think it's just it's on the defense. Those guys cannot get the puck out of the zone. They're making these horrible passes. I think your forwards are playing good enough, and they're getting killed on the boards. These guys could be two Bruins, one Florida guy, and like I said, they just can't get the puck out of the zone. The Florida guy comes off the boards with the skate, with the puck. They're just getting killed on the boards. The defense is letting them down.
Yeah, that's part of it. Joe, your phone wasn't that good, so I'm going to let you go on that. The defense has certainly been problematic these last couple of games. Derek in Saugus on last night's Game 6. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, Big Jim and Gaspa.
Hey.
My boys, best show of the week. Where were you last week, Jim? Missed you. Anyway, last night, I start with Jim Montgomery, and I start two games ago with Jim Montgomery. He was moving pasta around two games ago, which, if you haven't noticed, pasta doesn't adapt so well playing with other guys. So Jim Montgomery has to get control of the team again, figure it out, and scheme it up, because they could not break the puck out last night, and it didn't seem like he had an answer. Just wanted to see what you thought about,
Derek,
that.
I think that's another good point. You know, I did put in one thing that was a positive from last night, right, was they got Pastrnak going. And maybe that was one of the reasons Krejci was in the lineup. They reunite that check line, okay? But the other part of this, too, is I think he raised a really salient point there. I sort of put some of Pasta's inability to be effective in this series, and going to last night, it was two goals and no assists, on Montgomery, on all the line shifting, because I think Derek's dead right on that. He doesn't adjust well to that. He's one of your best players, and you jumbled up all these lines, and in the process, you lost one of your best players. Now, they rediscovered him last night, which I think was one of the real positives. I mean, that first power play goal he scored was
ridiculous.
Sick through the legs. But I do sort of, if we're going to pile on Montgomery here, I do lay the blame for Pasternak's inability to get dialed in at the feet of the coach.
Tommy and Lynn, what did you make of last night, Tommy?
I was mad. Why was Clifton in the lineup? It should have been Matt Grizzlick. Why'd he take him out? And Murray, I think there's something wrong with Ullmark. They should have put Swayman in a couple games back after that game two loss. They should have put him in. Now Swayman's sitting there cold, and we're in a game seven. And I'm going to be there tomorrow night in the building. And they better win. They better not wait. I let fight.
I hope for your sake, Tommy, they do. Because there's few worse feelings than being in a building for a Game 7 loss. It's, that's tough to deal with.
So, what's that thing Felger used to be on? Where, like, what was that app he had?
Oh, what the hell
do you remember?
It called? Yes, I wanted to say it was FanDuel, but it wasn't FanDuel.
No,
it was,
no. Whatever it was.
Yeah,
I want them to bring that back. Or maybe I can. Can I just have Angry Jim cameos? Anyways, I would pay so much money to be able to live stream Jim Murray watching this game tomorrow night. I would pay so much money to see that.
Fan cred, that's what it was.
Fan Thanks. Cred.
Good pull there, B-Rob. I knew it was fan something. Oh, yeah. All right, yeah, no. Me doing a live stream tomorrow night? Not a chance in hell. Because I'll say within, you know, they go down 1-0, you're going to get a stream of expletives that will cost me the job. So, like, I'm not, no
but,
way.
But on a stream? I mean, you know, isn't it a little bit like, you know, cable television or whatever? Can't you say whatever you want?
But you never
know. Like the podcast realm?
I bet no. I should watch that in a cave by myself, really, for my wife's sake as well. All right, we'll run through more of your calls here as we get ready to get into the Sports Up Celtics show at the top of the hour. Do have to touch on the latest in the Patriots draft. They make a couple of more selections last night. Help for Mac Jones? Nope. So we'll touch on that next here on Gasper Murray.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
Returns in a moment on the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
This is Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
And this is Gasper and Murray. On Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How do you feel about Mac? Is he your quarterback right now? How do you view him going into year three?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to respond to the anonymous quotes, Greg, so.
So, I mean, would you like to, is Mac your quarterback as of right now?
Yeah, I mean, look, Mac, you know, Mac's been our quarterback for 2 years. And as I tell the team every year, each player, each coach, you know, we all have to reestablish and prove ourselves every year. That's what this league is. So that's for all of us. 23. We'll see how 23 goes.
You're very complimentary of him going into last season and the last training camp.
Do you still
view him the same way?
Absolutely.
All right, I think there's a lot to pick from this exchange between Greg Bedard and Bill Belichick last night, night two of the NFL draft on quarterback Mac Jones, and good for Greg. Get him, Greg. So I think the key line is, you know, he finally said his name. See, he believes in Mac. Mac's been our quarterback. Mac's been our quarterback as opposed to Mac is our quarterback. I don't think I'm reading too much into that, considering how he's handled this situation with that particular player over the last year.
Look at you parsing tenses over there.
He still can't bring himself to say it, that, you know, he is our quarterback. Mac's been our quarterback. But I've noticed, especially on stupid Twitter last night, that, you know, many that cover the team decided to emphasize the one-word sentence at the end. Absolutely. See, they're fine. Bill and Mac are fine. They're fine. It's just this was a fake narrative. They're fine. They're fine. They're not fine. They're not fine. And I think it's also being proven with the draft thus far. You got no help for this kid? And if you wanted to see what he has, now that you have a real offensive coordinator with him in year three, you did him dirty last year with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. You could maybe use a little bit more help. Well, certainly on the offensive line, but maybe you could definitely use another young wide receiver. You get nothing? It's three defensive players so far? I still think there's something there, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the draft necessarily is him going out of his way to stick it to Mac Jones. I'm not going to go there. But I will say that, yeah, I don't think that everything's all good all of a sudden. No, yesterday they had their media campaign. You know, all of a sudden Bill O'Brien's mentioning his name. Now you have Bill Belichick mentioning his name, which, yeah. Look, that's good. But I also don't think it's a coincidence that it happens after the first round of the draft, where they're looking at it and basically saying, okay, there's not like another quarterback option that popped up for us. Nobody came to us and said, we're going to give a first round pick to you for Mac Jones. So Mac looks like he's going to be with us moving forward. So now all of a sudden you can start sort of talking him up and pretending like there was never any issue there. I mean, look, I think when you look at it overall with that relationship between Mac Jones and Bill Belichick, you have to be blind to say that there isn't something there or there hasn't been some deterioration. And I also found it really interesting. We played that quote from Bill. Oh, every coach and every player, you know, has to re-earn it. And you start over and 23 is 23. Well, what happened at the owners' meetings? Why should people be confident that the Patriots will be better last 25 years?
Yeah.
That was the real answer.
Yeah.
Right. That was the last 20. So and don't think for a second that the players don't see through that, that Mac Jones didn't see through that and say, well, wait a second. You're always preaching to us. We have to prove it all over again. And somebody's questioning you to take responsibility for the thing you said you would be responsible for if it didn't work, and you still haven't taken full responsibility for. And your answer is, last 25 years, just going to tack on two Brady years here that didn't actually exist because we're only going into year 24, last 25 years. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, it's just, again, if you're a player here and if you're Mac Jones, do you think that the coach is going to put you in the best position to succeed, or that he's going to turn you into a fall guy?
Fall guy.
Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah. So what do you make of the picks thus far? Christian Gonzalez drops to them. Look, I'm not going to pretend to know much about the player. It's not like I watch a lot of Oregon football. But, you know, he was looked at as a top 10 pick, and he's first-round talent that they took in the first round. So I don't want to give him A+. A lot of A's being thrown around.
Hey, can I ask you a question on the A, though? And the A+, at least? Does anybody want to revise their A+ now that the extra fourth-round pick they picked up was not used to move up in the second or third round? And I'm not being facetious. I'm not, like, or being sarcastic. I'm dead serious, because I thought that maybe the difference between A and A+ for part of it was, okay, they still got this guy.
But they picked up this extra fourth
that's going to allow them to move up into the second and third round and maybe get an extra second or third round pick. Now that didn't happen. They start today with four fourth round picks. Does anybody want to knock the plus off?
Well, they might want to consider that. But I'm not going to crap on the pick, Chris, because, you know, when they moved back to 17, I'm like, oh my God, how many times, you know, over the last 20 years are we going to do this? When you have holes on this team, there's going to be talent. Well, they ended up with talent and first round talent at that from a school you've heard of. And so the kid fell in their lap. So I'll give them good. But I feel like you were not down on the pick a little bit, but people might be overblowing it.
Yeah, I do feel that way. First of all, I just it's amazing to me. You know, sometimes people confuse quarterback and cornerback. Now, if you know Jim Murray, if it's an Oregon quarterback, he's going to rip the pick. But you're confident in Oregon cornerbacks.
Oh, well, no, again, I don't know. I'm not looking much on a lot of Oregon football. And after Herbert, I take that back. I used to be completely anti-Oregon quarterback. Justin Herbert has proven me wrong. No, like I don't know enough about him. I'm just trusting the prognosticators and draft geeks that said this guy should have went in the top 10. He fell to him at 17. Like, good. He's first. I know this. He was a first-round player that they took in the first round from a school I've heard of. That typically doesn't happen in recent years, so I applaud them.
Well, I know we're creeping up on the Sports Hub Celtics show here, so I'll just make it quick. I think he can be a solid player for you, but at 17, if I'm taking a corner with the history of the Patriots where they've been able to develop guys and find guys outside the first round, and given what the other team needs are, then I want that guy to be Sauce Gardner, Revis. I need him to be a total game changer. And I just don't see that with Gonzalez. I could be wrong, but we look at his production in terms of interceptions. He had no interceptions his first 2 years at Colorado. He had four last year for Oregon. they came against Eastern Washington, an FCS school that went 1-8, against Colorado, which was a 1-11 team. JT Shrout was the quarterback. He picked off twice. He was a journeyman college quarterback who's not very good. And then Oregon State, which had a really good season, but their quarterbacks combined for 16 touchdowns, 13 picks, and they were 105th out of 131 FBS schools in passing yards. And I would feel better about this if we could look at some tape of Christian Gonzalez shutting down Jordan Addison or breaking up passes from Caleb Williams, the Heisman Trophy winner from USC. But you're not going to see that because Oregon didn't play USC last year. What you will see is some tape of him against Georgia where he had his worst game of the year. Now, granted, that was the first game of the season. He certainly got better. But Georgia, that they're the national champions.
Yep.
A lot of talent on that team. His coverage grade, according to PFF, for that game was 55.1.
Hmm. So that's a long way of saying when he's played real talent, he didn't look real good.
When he's played real talent, I mean, he looks okay, but he doesn't look like a shutdown corner. And yeah. At 17, I want a shutdown corner if I'm the Patriots because I have other needs. And I've shown that I can find quasi or pseudo number one corners basically off the street. You know, I can take some undrafted guy and turn him into my top corner. Maybe he's not a bona fide number one shutdown guy, depending how you feel about Butler when he was at his best.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation.org to get involved.